Our second reading tonight is found in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, and we read the whole of this chapter together. Our text is taken from the last two verses of this chapter, so if we pay more particular attention to those two verses as we read them. Reading from verse 1 of Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure, and exact all your labours. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, and that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And now these next two verses are our text. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honourable, and shalt honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. And may God bless to us even the reading of his word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sabbath day. We come to the Sabbath every week, don't we? It rolls around in that way very regularly. And every Sunday we get up and we come to church and we do the usual things we do on the Sunday. Sadly, and probably a little more often than we care to admit, because it simply comes around and we tend to do the same things every Lord's Day, then we can start to see Sunday, the Sabbath day, as perhaps a bit of a drag because of the regularity of it and because it is a day that is kind of routine. It's just part of what we do, and we all know that sometimes routine, if that's what it is, can get rather boring. Not only that, but when we look at the Sabbath day, the tendency of our heart is quite often in this way. We can tend to concentrate on what we can't do on the Sabbath day, because we know that it is that the Lord's day is a day for the Lord, and therefore there are things that are prohibited on the Lord's day, and we see that in the Old Testament in particular when that's set forward. Then we can start making, as it were, a big list of can't do this and can't do that and can't do that. And arising out of that thinking, then we can start to, as it were, feel like, well, what can we do on the Lord's day? You know, not much. If we know, if we examine our heart, we know that this kind of thinking can easily grow. If we're not careful, it can grow in our heart and start to predominate our thinking. And then we start to say to ourselves with a kind of a, you know, sort of ungodly feeling, well, surely it can't be bad to do this on the Lord's Day. Surely it can't be bad to do that on the Lord's Day. I really want to do this. And we say to ourselves, you know, you don't want to be a legalist, do you? You know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, like the Pharisees did, and making up all sorts of laws. And we all know how bad it is to have legalism. And therefore, well, it should be quite okay for me to do this or that. Does that sound familiar? Is that the sort of thing that can arise in your heart and in mine? This is where we very much need the fourth commandment to bring us back to the beautiful truth. In our series, in the Catechism, we're looking at the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and in that series we've come now to look at the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Notice that this commandment is a positive command. The three that we've already looked at have all begun with thou shalt not. When we come to the Sabbath day, it's very much a positive commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it's also remember. It's not just thou shalt keep the Sabbath day, but God actually uses that word remember. And that actually tells us what we tend to forget. We actually tend to put it out of mind. We tend to forget about the fact that God has called us to keep the Sabbath day holy. And therefore he says to us, remember, bring this to mind. Keep reminding yourself of this wonderful truth to keep the Sabbath day holy. But also notice that this command is in the first table of the law. It's the first one of the first four commandments. And as we've been considering, we've seen that the first table of the law mainly has to do with God. So the first command concerned who we are to worship. You're not to have any other gods. So who? Second commandment concerned how we are to worship, not with any graven images. We're not to worship God with anything that we have produced, that we have made up, and then to say, well, I'll worship God according to the way that I think. So the who, and then the how. And then we saw that with regards to God's name, that's the what of worship. We are to worship God's name, everything whereby he makes himself known. Well, now we come on this one to consider the when we are to worship God. And obviously the when is the Sabbath day. But we also ought to understand that it has much more than simply to say, okay, I'm to worship God on the Sabbath day, that's that, tick. But really, this command has all to do with the summary of the law. I am to love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and strength and mind. Therefore, we're to understand that that's what this command is talking about. With this positive nature of the command, we are to understand that I am to love God and to love his Sabbath and positively to remember to keep it. What I want to do this week is to take up and look at the very positive nature of this command. Next week, I want to take and look at more of the breadth of the command, and we'll consider this commandment again. But this evening, we take up this particular text in Isaiah and consider that, so that we will have very clearly in our mind what the Lord tells us with regards to His day, the Lord's day, the Sabbath day. We consider, therefore, our text under the theme, Calling the Sabbath a Delight. And we'll consider that under three headings. First of all, we look at the calling that we have here, that we have a real calling that the Lord says for us to do about His Sabbath. Secondly, let's look at the reason that is given to us. And thirdly, the real blessing that arises out of calling the Sabbath a delight. From our text, what is the calling that is given to us here in these verses? It's a calling that really fits with the whole of the rest of this chapter. God has been pointing out in this chapter of Isaiah that so often men consider the service of God to be somewhat of a burden. Men consider that, well, I have to do this and I have to do that, and you could see that in the way in which Isaiah set that forth. That men say, you know, why have we afflicted our souls in this way? Look at all the things that we have to do for God, as it were. It's kind of a drudgery. But God says here, that's not what I called you to do. That's what He says in verses 5 through 7. He says, that's not acceptable to me. I did not call you to behave in that way, to think in that way, to have that kind of attitude. I am your covenant God who has saved you. What we're looking at this morning, I am your God who has brought you out of death, out of that kind of way of thinking, into life, in order to, in a living and a zealous way, to serve me. And therefore God says, it's about time that you changed your whole mind and thinking. It's about time you changed your whole attitude, and that you actually got rid of everything to do with your will and your ideas, particularly here, out of my Sabbath. To get your ideas and your wills out of my Sabbath and out of my service. That's what's meant here by the Holy Spirit saying, turning away your foot from the Sabbath. Sometimes when we actually read that, when you read that at the beginning of verse 13, it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, it kind of sounds like, our foot sounds like walking, and it sounds like we're walking into the Sabbath, and that God's advising us to not go near the Sabbath and to go away from the Sabbath and leave it alone. But that's not the idea here. The idea of this, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, is this. God is saying to us, you have taken your great big dirty foot and you've plonked it down in the middle of my beautiful Sabbath. You have taken your wills and your wants and your ideas, and you have desecrated my Sabbath by putting your feet plonked in the middle of it. It's a bit like one of you ladies, perhaps. You know, it's house cleaning day. And you go through the house and you carefully vacuum everywhere and get out the mop and carefully do all the floors, and there they are, beautiful and shiny and bright. And then old Dumbo of a husband comes in from doing the gardening and clomps right through the house and puts filthy mud everywhere. You put your foot in it. God says, if you turn away your foot out of my Sabbath and the mess that you make, take away your will, take away your ideas, your attitudes that you have at the center of the way in which you're treating my Sabbath. What we notice here is that it is, in fact, the whole attitude of our heart and mind that is the real problem when it comes to the love and service of our God. It's our whole attitude of heart and mind that is the real problem. You see, so often we hear ourselves asking this kind of question. What could be wrong with this? This is what I want to do on the Sabbath. What could be wrong with this? Why would God be unhappy with me doing this on the Sabbath day? But what that does is it actually betrays a completely wrong attitude and thinking about the Sabbath. We get frustrated and annoyed because this is what we want to do, this is my will, and I want to do it, and then things get in the way and it becomes apparent that we really shouldn't be doing those things, and that annoys us and leads us into problems. We try to defend our self-centered thinking then. And we get annoyed with other people and they might bring up things and we say, well, you know, find me in Scripture where it says it's wrong for me to do this. You see, if we ask the wrong question, what's wrong with this and why can't I do it, then you get the wrong answer every single time. What we're actually to be doing is turn ourselves around and head in completely the other direction. Do you remember a while ago we looked at holiness as a congregation on a camp, and we looked at the fact that holiness does not consist in where you are on a particular line and you know, whether you're good and so good or not so good. But holiness actually consists in your attitude, the direction of your looking. And if I'm looking around and saying, this is what I want to do, and I want to get as close to it as possible, that's not being holy. To be holy is to be set apart to God, and it's to turn around and look at God and say, how can I, in the best way, seek after Him? It's a direction and an attitude of heart. God tells us that in the Sabbath day, as far as that's concerned, about what we have to do is to take our foot, our will, our ideas out of the Sabbath. We are to take away all that is our will and everything that belongs to the things that we naturally want to do and all of our corrupt wisdom, and to throw it out. To emphasize this, God unpacks that a little further in this text. Let's have a look at the way in which God unpacks it here in the text. First of all, he says, you notice at the end of verse 13, he says, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. First of all, we're not to do our own ways. In other words, the Sabbath day is not to do what I want to do in it. We are to use Sunday to do the ways of God, not our ways, not our doings. The Sabbath, in other words, is not to be used for our work. It's not a day for work at all. It's not to be used for our recreation, our sport, or for travel, for example. We ought not to be doing those things on the Lord's Day. It's not to be used for shopping, for hobbies, for recreational reading. None of those things. You see, all of those are our ways and our doings, but they're not God's ways and God's doings. In fact, what we are to do with the Sabbath day is even plan our Sunday ahead of time so that we will not need to be buying things or preparing things unnecessarily or to travelling, so that the foot of our doing and our making doesn't intrude into God's Sabbath. Not only that, but we're not to seek our own pleasure, says God. And that puts it in even more clear fashion, doesn't it? There are lots of things that we like doing. And then we can sort of bring them along and say, well, you know, they're nice and quiet. Here I am on the Lord's Day and I'm resting on the Lord's Day because I'm just sitting at my computer playing my computer game, and it's nice and quiet and everything's fine. But why are we doing it? It's for my pleasure. And the Lord says, not finding your own pleasure. It's not for your pleasure, the Lord's Day. It's actually for what pleases God, not what pleases you. If we ask the question, you see, what's wrong with doing this thing that I like doing? You see, there's the problem already. This thing that I like doing. To ask the question is to give the answer because of what it says in the Word of God. And finally, God says, not speaking your own words. And that's a really tough one, isn't it? Because our tongue is something that we have a great deal of difficulty in taming. But the word tells us here we're not to be speaking and talking on the Lord's Day about all the sorts of things that we like to talk about, that grab our interests, words which honour us and what we want to talk about. But rather, the words that we speak on the Lord's Day are to be words that are centred in the Lord. Words that are things that interest and honour Him, that please Him on His day. But our calling, once again here, is not something purely negative. We've just been looking at things that we are not to do. We are to take our foot out of the Sabbath. But the purpose here is not simply to sweep away all of these things out of the Sabbath and to leave it completely empty. We can sometimes get that idea when we talk about resting on the Sabbath day. We talk about a Sabbath day rest, don't we? Sometimes we can get the idea of, great, the Sabbath day is for resting. Whew, we're in a really busy week, and now comes the Sabbath day, and I can kick back, put my feet up, and I can just relax. It's a day, in other words, for me and my pleasure, because I can relax, and that's what I feel like doing. But the Bible makes clear, right through the whole of it, in both Old Testament and New Testament, that though the Sabbath day is for resting, what that word means is not to be idle. The idea of this word doesn't mean to do nothing, to kick back and just simply take our ease. No, the idea is that we are actually to be resting in Christ. We're to be resting in salvation, to be resting in our God. And these are the most important, awesome, and wonderful things in life. That resting in those things means that what we do is we energetically, actively, with all of our heart, take these things up and work with them and know them and love them and apply them to our heart and apply them to each other and discuss these things and encourage one another in the truth. That means planning to do that. If we are going about to do anything worthwhile, we spend time planning it, don't we? Do you plan your Lord's days? Or do you just simply get to them and go, whew, okay, what are we going to do today? And you just kind of just go with the flow and... Or do you know that this is such an important day that you plan it very carefully? It means work, it means actually and consciously rising into the day with an understanding that I'm going to be seeking Him, I'm going to be worshipping God, I am going to be giving this day to Him with all of my being, so that everything else purposefully is planned to be put aside, that I can give this day to a full honouring of the Lord. In the words of our text, it is to call the Sabbath a delight. To call the Sabbath a delight. What do we mean when we say a delight? A delight is something that is exquisitely beautiful and a joy. Not just to look at, but in fact to experience. That's what a delight is. Exquisitely beautiful, not only to look at, but to enjoy, to experience. We look forward to various things, don't we, in our ordinary everyday life. One of the things that we used to really enjoy as a family was to take our family holidays down at Yamba on the northern New South Wales coast. And we used to, you know, book up the holiday, and we knew it was getting closer as a family, and of course a couple of weeks out, the excitement is growing. Holidays getting closer, and then there's the preparations that happen in the last couple of weeks because you need to prepare and get everything ready, and then there's the day it comes when you're actually packing up and everybody's getting excited and everybody gets in the car and you're singing all the way down there, and then you get there and it's like, wow, we're here, and you want to do everything all at once, And there's an excitement and a relaxation all at the same time. It's a delight. Delight. Is that your Sabbath day? Is that my Sabbath day? Is it a delight in that way? Do we have an excitement in the week coming up towards the Sabbath day? Do we make preparations for it? Do we get to the day and jump out of bed and say, it's here, the Sabbath day? And you want to do everything all at once that's involved in the worshipping of God and the seeking after Him. Notice that we are to call the Sabbath a delight. To call the Sabbath a delight. Now, it doesn't just mean that God says, I want you to label it that. And we say, oh, okay. Alright, well, the Sabbath is a delight. There you go. I've called it that. That's not what it means. Alright? In the Old Testament, to name something a name, to call it a name, means to actually call it what it is in its reality for you. So when God says to us, if you call the Sabbath a delight, in other words, what He's saying to you is, if you really take that Sabbath on board, and for you the reality is in your life that it is a delight, a real delight. I want you to know the Sabbath in that way, God says. The only way to do that, therefore, is to do so with our whole being. Not just with our lips, not with just an academic sort of superficial saying, yep, yep, that's what it's to be, it's a delight. But with our whole heart and our whole being. It's not just an outward thing, but a coming to know what the Sabbath is. To trust in God, to rest in that. If we don't know the Lord's Day as a delight, do you know where the problem lies? If we don't know the Sabbath day as a delight, you see, the problem is not with the day, as if the day itself is some kind of difficult day. It's not to do with our particular circumstances and what we need to deal with. It's not because of other people. It's not because of the difficulty in looking after young children, which is a real difficulty on the Lord's Day. But none of those things actually affect the Sabbath being a delight. There's only one thing. That is a problem with our heart and our relationship with the Lord. Let's direct our heart then tonight to know that the Sabbath is a delight. And to teach ourselves this truth. And then to prepare for, be excited about, and to exalt in the Lord's Day. What's the reason? What's the reason? Well, first of all, we're to see that the reason why we are to call the Sabbath a delight is that it is a holy day. Notice in verse 13, God calls it this twice. He says, my holy day, and then the holy of the Lord. That word holy means set apart. Set apart particularly for a sacred use, a sacred purpose. It's God Himself who has set apart the day in this way. He set it apart as a creation ordinance. The Sabbath is actually part of the way in which this whole world was made. So God Himself set apart the whole of the seventh day to admire His own works, to admire what He had done, to glory in His beautiful works. And therefore, this command comes into existence. When you look at this command, the fourth commandment, it takes it straight back to the creation, doesn't it? This is why. So it's part of who we are and the whole makeup of the creation. It's part of what God has done, and therefore what He calls His creatures to do likewise. And that means that we will follow our God. We will keep the whole day, from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep at night, we will keep the whole day as set apart to Him. All the other things which are lawful on every other day, we will put aside. This day is holy. set apart to God alone. But this day will also not only be separated in that way, it will be separated by a holy conversation and behaviour. So it's not just a holy day, but of course as we enter into it, then we likewise will be holy. We'll be seeking to be holy, set apart in my whole way in which I live, the whole way in which I speak, set apart for the purpose of drawing near to worshipping and glorifying God. But there's another reason given here, and that is that when we do so, we will honour the day that God has set apart. If it is holy, and this is God's day, then we honour that day. The opposite of honouring is, of course, to dishonour the day. To dishonour the day is when we say, consciously or unconsciously, you know, I don't really want to set apart the whole day to God. Maybe just part of it, but I don't want to set apart the whole day to the Lord. He will interfere too much with what I want to do. We dishonour God's day when we go on holidays from the Sabbath. We can do that, can't we? As it were, we're on a break, you know, we're on holidays, we're overseas or whatever else, and we say, well, surely it's not going to matter if we don't go to church. Surely it's not going to matter if I go off and do a little sightseeing or whatever. I'm on holidays. Really? But why do you take a break from what is a creation ordinance? Have you stepped out of God's creation somewhere? The reason for the Sabbath is that we highly honour God's day. We say, there is no more important day. Do you say that? Do you behave that way? There is no more important day. What would it be, men that are husbands? What would it be if you decided that one year you're just going to forget about and neglect your wife's birthday? Say, oh, it's not that much of an important day. Forget about it this year. What would it be if your best friend was getting married and you turn up to that day and you sort of go, oh, look, I don't think I'll bother turning up for the wedding? Your best friend. Are they important days? Would you neglect those days because they are important days? Well, then why would we ever neglect the Sabbath day, which is far more important than those days? It's the Lord's day, not our best friend's day, not our wife's day. It's the Lord's day. You see, this brings us to understand it's not just about honouring the day, it's actually about honouring God. To honour God. Notice how that's emphasised in the text. It actually says, my holy day and the holy of the Lord. You see, it's not just to call the day honourable, but it says, and will honour him. And will honour him. You see, this is the most important reason for keeping the Sabbath day. It's to honour God himself. To not keep the Sabbath by buying or selling or having recreation or travel or spending the whole day sleeping or whatever is actually to throw dishonour in the name of God, the merciful and loving God who has done all for us and saved us. But to remember the Sabbath day, to call it a delight, to immerse yourself in enjoying that day and worship and glorify God, is to give to God the highest honour. This is a day that is set apart to God. That's the purpose of it. It is his day. It's a day that is for his honour. We ought to, just as God did himself, to contemplate his own work on the Sabbath day. That's what God himself did, and we should do likewise, to set aside all of our usual work and to do as he did. But we in the New Testament have an even additional reason to honour God. Why? Because God himself has changed the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day of the week. Why? because that's the day on which our Saviour rose from the dead. And that's why in the New Testament so often we refer to the Sabbath as the Lord's Day. It's Jesus' Day. It's a day in which when we set apart that day to honour and to glorify Him, we're saying Jesus Christ is infinitely important to me. And I will honour my Lord and my King and my Saviour by devoting the whole day to Him and enjoying Him and delighting in Him. For He is my life. For me to live is Christ. And therefore this day is Jesus' day. It's His day. For Him alone and not for me. Now we know the reason why we keep and remember the Lord's Day. It's not for us. It's for God. We're told clearly that we honour Him when we keep it by excluding our will, our activities, our desires from His day. We honour Him when we delight in Him and delight in His works, especially the work of salvation in Jesus Christ. What's the blessing? What's the blessing that we can expect when we delight in the Sabbath? There is a wonderful blessing that God gives us in the way of delighting in the Sabbath. And that, in and of itself, is an amazing thing, isn't it? You see, God could have simply required of us, for His own glory, that we keep the day set apart to Him. And that would have been enough for us to say, "Yea, Lord, if that's what you call me to, then we will do that with all of our heart." But God wonderfully promises to us, weak creatures, that there will be good and gracious benefits that will come to us when we delight in remembering His day. That's indicated by the way in which our text is written. Have you noticed that? This is really an if-then statement. So the beginning of verse 13 starts with an if and runs through. And it says, if you do this, then, he says in verse 14, these things. Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Our loving Saviour says that we will experience wonderful blessings, riches. Ride on the high places of the earth. That's really speaking to us very graphically. Because so often in our daily life, things become a grind, don't they? This is a world in which we live, which is broken with sin and so many difficulties and so many problems that we struggle with, not the least of being our own sin that we struggle with. And very often as we trudge along in doing these various things, it can be like travelling a very difficult path, walking, as it were, down in a deep valley where it's really dark and the woods are over and the forest is coming in and things are grabbing on you and you're struggling along and there's fearful things and so forth. That can be what life is like as you're going along. And we're tempted to think, can life get any more difficult? Can life get any more low? But come the Sabbath day, God says, come the Sabbath day, and you give yourself to honour the Lord and delight in the Sabbath, then instead of being down in that deep valley in the darkness and struggling, God says you're going to ride on the high places of the earth. Why and how? Well, because on the Sabbath, then God calls us to actually remember the truth, to actually recenter our lives in what is very, very real. The things that we were looking at this morning, that wonderful truth that we have been resurrected from the dead, the beautiful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what He has done for our souls. The gospel reminds us, God has saved me, a worthless sinner. I was on the pathway to hell and destruction, and He's rescued me from the burning, and He's given me an inheritance forevermore. He's made me to be alive in Jesus Christ. And not only that, that he has adopted me into the family of God, so that my whole life, including those struggles that I'm going through every single day in that dark and difficult pathway, guess what? That's my Heavenly Father. That's him and his loving hand upon me, because he has ordained everything that happens in my life. And that lifts me up. It makes me to realize that even the struggles, even the hard things, even the sorrows and the pains, every one of them is working for my eternal good, and he's preparing me for my home to which I'm headed. And all of those steps and those trudging along, guess what? They're stepping stones to heaven. Suddenly we're lifted up. On that day, I contemplate the reality of what my life is really in Christ. I know the realities of the fact that God's face shines upon me, though I don't deserve it. I deserve exactly the opposite. Yet he has laid his hand upon me. And I know of his grace working in my life. I struggle every day with my sins, but you know why I struggle? Because God's grace is at work in my life. I'm not being carried off by my sins into destruction. I've been given the grace of God to put on the armour and to be about that warfare. And he's put the sword of the Spirit in my hand, and he's given me the grace and strength to fight. That's why I'm struggling. That's why I'm about that work. He is at work powerfully in my life. And I may know that. I have grace now, and I will have sufficient grace for every day that will cause me to have the victory finally in Christ. And our text says also that we will be fed with the heritage of Jacob, our father. The idea of Jacob was Israel, that one who was the father of all the tribes of Israel, and it's talking here about spiritual Israel. We are indeed the children of Abraham if we have that true faith in Christ. And we are the recipients, therefore, of covenant blessings through faith. As we delight in the Sabbath, as we delight in all of the truth of Christ, then we may know that we've been made part of the glorious body of Christ. We're part of the covenant heritage. We are just as much apart with Christ as Jacob, or David, or Solomon, or Moses, or Paul, or John the Baptist. We are all united in one in Christ. We are being fed with the same manna from heaven as they were blessed with also. When you look at those men in Hebrews, those that are the honor roll of faith, guess what? It's the same Christ, and it's the same Spirit, and it's the same truth of the gospel that has fed their souls and caused them to have the victory and go to be in glory. And they also delighted in the Sabbath day and in all the beauty of the truth. God says, I will feed you with that same covenant blessing. Just as God's church has been kept and blessed in marvelous ways down through the history of the world, so we will be fed also. God will not fail to feed us on the Sabbath day. He loves his sheep and his lambs, and he tenderly cares for them in and through the Sabbath, through us delighting in it. In all this, we will be brought closer to the Lord himself. You see, it's not just a matter of learning truth. It's not just a matter of seeing more of the glory of the gospel and the magnitude of God's love to us. It's actually to draw near to him, to the living God, to our Lord and Savior, who is our shepherd, our loving older brother, to really know him, to delight in that on the Sabbath day. That's why verse 13 begins with, then you will delight yourself, not in the Sabbath, but then you will delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in God himself. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It is life, it is eternal life, to know God. That's what it is to delight in the Sabbath. That is the blessing that we receive. We come to know Him, to live with Him, to walk with Him. There will be no greater joy. What more incentive could we need when God lays these things before us and gives us these promises to call the Sabbath day a delight? There will be no greater joy than to completely deny ourselves, to throw out our will, to take our foot out of the Sabbath day and to seek after Him, to give the whole day to Him, to honour His day, to honour Him, to ride on the high places and to be fed with covenant blessings. May we come to know the Sabbath in just this way, more and more in our lives for His glory and the strength of the church. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a wondrous day is the Sabbath day. That which You have brought into existence on the seventh day of the creation of this world, that day which has existed ever since, that You have made the day for us to know You, to be with You, to give unto You with all of our heart. O Lord, we confess in so many ways we attempt to rob You of the Sabbath and to take it back for ourselves. We pray, forgive us for all of that wretchedness and instead open our eyes, open our hearts to see the glory of the Sabbath and to give You honour and to seek after You and to know the glory of Your gospel and the beauty of this day, that we may grow in Christ, that we may know You and know Christ and grow in the grace that You have given unto us. We pray, hear our prayers in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.